Okay, let's call this meeting to order. Please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I just want to clarify for the record, this is the first Wednesday meeting, or the second Wednesday meeting, first meeting of the month, March 9th, 2016. And any changes to the agenda?
Yes.
Well, first?
Yeah, I'd like to add something to other business. This is a climate change grant that I want to talk a little bit about.
Okay. And we'll put that under other business, first point. All right.
And under the executive session, we already have an item on real estate. I'd like to add just a short update on the legal matter.
Okay. And how long are we going to be on executive session?
Let's see. Include the legal estate?
Yeah.
20, no decisions.
20, no decisions, okay.
Sorry, Pat O'Malley, it's his fault.
It's his fault.
Yeah.
We're just
shooting. It's not even time to get my stuff.
That's all right. I'm on approval of agenda. Did you want to add anything to the agenda?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, consent agenda. Does everybody have a chance to go through the material on consent agenda? Okay. Do I hear a motion? What's that?
I move we approve the consent.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda.
Excuse me, can I ask one question? Did you guys move to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Item two?
Oh, we did not. I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda with the changes marked.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now we'll.
Did you hear the changes, Brad? You might not have heard the changes.
Oh, yeah, I'll read you. So one is the, on point eight, there is a climate change that Steve wants to talk about for, in other business. And then in the executive session, Larry added something pertaining to a legal matter.
Update on.
In the executive session.
Update on.
I already knew about that.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right, so we'll move down to item four, which is public comments. Are there any public comments?
Yes.
Mark, and then, yeah, that's great. If you'd come to the podium, that's. It's your fault, Pat.
It is. I accept the blame.
Oh, I'm sorry, I spilled some coffee.
Hello, my name is Mark Lindley. I'd like to read something to you here. It was decided 2 weeks ago at the last commissioner's meeting that I should be indicted to the court. It would therefore be a fair statement to say that three court commissioners and one of the directors believe what Jim Kovarnik has said about my vote. We can assume then that all of you support this decision while never having been on board my vote or see the progress of my vote. To this end, I ask that you put together on paper the reasons for supporting such a decision. If you agree that it would be fair for you to come aboard my vote, have a look at the progress. None of you have seen my vote, and yet we're talking about destroying something here that basically is never seen. I also went online to the state Washington, to Washington State Legislature's website. Under the revised Code of Washington, Chapter 79.101, it lists the requirements for making a vessel a derelict. My vote does not fit that criteria. According to the website, these are guidelines that public courts are supposed to follow. The commissioners condone the act of making my vote a derelict without having seen it. What I would like to do is stay in the court, continue supporting your city. I've written an awful lot. The vote's almost complete. The reason for the shelters to keep it dry. I'm not hiding anything. shelters truly protect my work environment. I also find it interesting that Jim would come after me when Gold Star still owes back rent and has not paid out the rest of their lease. Why would you be trying to kick me out while others owe you money? There's a double standard there. I'm willing to pay, I have paid. I've hired a legal firm, Lombino and Martino, to protect my book. The firm's out of Lakewood, they have 25 lawyers. I'd ask the commissioners and directors to please state in writing exactly what I've done wrong to substantiate your claims, because you have to be able to back this up. So I've got some things here for you. I want to add a couple things and then I'm done. About being late, the United States is in debt. Canada's in debt. The port's in debt. We all try to work together to make things work, so we pay. I communicated, I was late. I wrote a comment to the newspaper, but it was communicated and nothing was ever brought up. It was all fine. Now all of a sudden, years later, something's coming up. So, also you have 12 or 17 boats that are being wrecked and the owners aren't here, yet I'm here. Sure, it's hard. You gotta try some reconciliation here. Okay, it's a beautiful boat. They want the boat in the parade next year to redo, commemorate the 1917 opening of the locks. And my boat was in that parade in 1917. And the Puget Sound Historical Maritime Historical Society has had an interest in that, as well as the Friends of the Locks. Other than that, Jim, we've never met. You have a nice boat. You're welcome to come and see it. You know, I've got a good background, and she's really nice. I do want to be out of here, absolutely. Okay, I miss home. All right, I'm a guest here, and the reason I'm a guest is because I'm allowed to cross into coming your border, because I, you know, I've got a clean record and interesting life, and so I'd like you guys to answer these for me and submit them, please. Okay, because gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, you've never seen my boat. I can't comment on your house. I've never seen your house. Do I want to forget about this? Yeah, I didn't come here to sue anybody. This one for you, Mr. O'Malley. I didn't come here to sue, I didn't come here to fight. I came here to work on my boat. I learned a lot. You know what I can tell you about Americans? You guys have a lot harder than we do in Canada. Okay, I've been telling you guys that. A lot harder. Okay, kudos to the small guy who's working. Okay, it's astounding what you guys have to put up with. And the work of a shipwright, oh boy. They have to do more than, they have to be engineers, they have to be electricians, they have to contort, they have to contort themselves. How did you know that was for you? They have to contort themselves to do this, and then they have to put up, and then they work alone. Do you know that two people can do four times as more work than one person? And I've been alone in there, which I'm not complaining, it's fine, it's been great. You know that every frame and every plank in my boat's been refastened. Every one of them. This isn't just a small remake, it's a beautiful boat. I want you to come and see her before you kick me out, please. And if you don't agree, then yeah, okay, I'll leave. Okay, the list is too long for me to make, all right? If it works out, I'll forget about everything. Why not? You know, looking for a win-win. Is there a Sue Nelson here? Oh,
it's for the record.
I suppose it's for the record, then. I thought you, I wasn't sure that your last name was Nelson. Director of Finance, well then. I didn't get any sleep last night, zero. The week of my court date, I got zero sleep Sunday before the court. I got zero sleep Tuesday night to stay for that last 2 weeks meeting. And then on Thursday to try to stop something on the Friday, I stayed up all night again. This week I've had two all-nighters. I'm tip, but I just want to complete my vote, people. You know, if you haven't seen it, I can't accept it. And I don't think you can either. Really, can we all look at each other here in this room and go, really? Haven't seen my vote? You think it's, is it interest of the port? I'm willing to pay. So, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Martin.
Now, I would have one more thing. I've made a lot of phone calls, a lot of people. This is an embarrassing situation. Nobody wants to get back. I understand that. That's okay. May I ask that one of you come and see me? Maybe Brad, I'm comfortable with you. When you make a decision, or when you decide you want to come and see my boat, and please communicate with me. That's what I'm asking. Pete, are we good with that? Steve?
Yo.
Steve, are we good with communicating with me? There's been a lot of stuff saying, we've tried to do this with Mark, tried to do this with Mark. Nobody's talked to me. I've never been hit or hit a man. Never been in a fight, so not to be afraid. Larry, Jim, Eric, Pat, Abigail, Sue. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Mark, we gotta move along,
yeah.
Okay?
So when might I hear? Within 24 hours? Within
all I can tell you, Mark, is the problem we have and why you don't hear a response from us is we're in a legal proceeding now, so we cannot
comment
on the record.
But it can't be stayed. You guys can get together and say, look, we got this guy here. All right, what's good for the port here? I understand that, and everybody said, got to do is what's, you know, a lot of boats out there that you destroyed, the owners are gone. I'm here. Thank you so much for your patience.
You're welcome. Any more comments? Yes, Pete.
Now, for the record, Pete Langley, the Port Townsend Foundry. A few other things I just wanted to bring up. Part of the fact of what I commented last week, I know Peter's here to probably do his 2015 report. Again, it's 3 months into 2016. I had requested some documents to back up what the EDC had done. I read, and going through them, they were late on the contract and or performance, giving you the quarterly reports and these things. So I related to the same policy procedures that we gotta treat everyone, that same sort of thing. Mark might have been late in payment history, contracts are late in performance history, no personal issues, we gotta take those aside. It's all part of a human project. EDC is difficult to do, building a boat is difficult to do. So I'm trying to put those together to how we work out that it's money for the port. 2 cents a square foot for bare land or no cents a square foot is kind of what you're looking at. Sure, some of us are our own worst enemies, right? We're all characters. I don't know a single character I've worked for in the last 35 years here that is willing to take on a 55-foot wooden boat, let alone a 100-year-old one, and do this. The point I think that comes across well is here, he wants to pay. Wants to get out with everybody's saving face, and hopefully we can do that. So I won't take any more of your time, but I would ask you to support in getting the project done.
Appreciate your comments, Pete. Anybody else? Anybody else for public comments? Not related to the agenda?
Excuse me?
Not related.
Can I have 15 second comment?
15.
Okay. I think everybody in this room is aware that you're all capable of making a good decision. It could be in the courts, but it's about people. It went to the courts because of people, and it didn't go in the courts properly with the good information either. So I think we're all capable. I know, we all know here in this room that you are capable of making this work. We all know this. It's volition. That's all it is. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, second reading is Peter Quinn, Team Jefferson, briefing us on where we're at with the EDC contract.
There are other copies of this for the audience. My last presentation was about 5 months ago to you guys, it was longer than that, because I had some medical issues that caused me not to go to meetings for a fair bit of time. But you asked, I think it was Commissioner Hanke asked for more numbers. So the presentation today is only numbers. We like to go far and wide. So. One thing I want to point out, the spreadsheet is what I'll talk about mostly. I'm pointing out the Focus Thrive brochure, which is a productization of the things that we've been doing for many years, but with our move into the chamber offices together on Sims Way, we needed to have a handout that would assist us in helping people know how they could interact with us and what we could do for them. Pretty much everything we do is in one of the six programs that we talk about there, and they're all active, they all have something going, and I'm very excited about how it's gone. With the chamber, I'm doing 1 to 2business consultations a day now, working 3 days a week, so about 5 a week is what we're averaging right now. But with that said, I'll go through and just go through what we've accomplished in the year 2015. The only caveat to that is, if you recall, I had a fair number of medical issues, and I was looking at my Fitbit. I hit 4 million steps on my Fitbit, but I was in recovery 11 of those 16 months, so I felt pretty good about hitting 4 million. I was basically kind of a half run for most of this year, but our numbers are excellent regardless. And there's no reason not to start out with the real bell ringer, which was essentially a program that the EDC and the port worked together on for about the better part of a year, I think a little bit over that. ACI Boats, which came in and is now 26 people employees. They have 5 holes under construction. They have another 8 in the pipeline. And they also took over Gold Star, not their lease. They took over Gold Star and the work that they're doing, and they're doing a lot of refitting and service work at this point in time. That will probably be that's an amazing accomplishment to bring a new boat builder into town. And I think we all need to take a moment realized that we had an empty building and we filled it in about 3 months. And that's because we were prepared for it, we've been working with people, and we had somebody to court to get that done. The others I'll just walk through, but it's essentially we have 36 jobs, about 250 hours of EDC's time in either startups, recruitment, or succession. The short diesel repair was been here for many, many years. It was about to not be here at all, and that would have gotten rid of all any large engine diesel repair in the county. And so we worked very hard with them to help them buy the place, and it's now running with 3 employees and doing great. Business consultations are what I mentioned earlier. We essentially, I sit down for about an hour with an individual, and I do that 3 to 5 times a week. In 2015, in spite of the health issues we talked about, that we had 61 consultations, about 125 hours, because we have additional follow-up conversations and things like that. Some people I work with for 5 to 10 hours, some it's just an hour and we never see them again. It just all depends what happens. One of the key things that we focused on was getting lean training in this county. I've run organizations that were lean organizations, and it was always a hard thing to get into an organization that you ran, let alone anything else. But this county has taken lean training to heart in a big, big way. In 2015, we had 53 people go through lean training. We have another session just started this week, and it was this week. And we'll probably do another 60 this year. It's resulted in amazing improvements, particularly in our manufacturing sector and our online e-commerce people who are constantly working with processes and things. And it's a real benefit. folks plan is our business planning classes. And that is essentially, we start a new session of that next week. We had 36 people go through various training programs. The focus plan is essentially a 10-week program for building a business plan. If you finish your business plan, and we are, at least with our approval, then you get $100 or $150 back. It's the best bargaining training I've ever seen. The Entrepreneur Week panel discussions, which was essentially a community-wide effort that we participated in by having me do the, essentially be the moderator on two panels. Town hall meeting was a very large meeting that was held out at Fort Worden, and that was staffed by EDC personnel, not myself. Focus Buy is a program where we help people who just already decided that Jefferson County is where they want to live and work. We help them look for something to buy so that they can purchase it and operate it in this county. I actually have three people I'm working with at this point in time, but as of the end of 2015, there were two. And the concept is simply that recruitment is a really lousy way to recruit, if that makes any sense. Because you essentially start courting, let's say, 250 companies, and you might catch one that's going to listen to you twice, or maybe three times, but you don't have them convinced that they want to be here in the county. So we're working the other direction. We're working with people who want to be here, and then helping them find a business either in this county or outside the county, and then they can purchase it and relocate it here. We've had two very near misses. This is not easy stuff to do. You have to have a meeting in mind between buyer and seller and all those kinds of things, but I really think it's the best way for us to recruit and bring new businesses into this county. Just take a willing owner, purchase it, move it here, or to take over an existing business here. Focus CEO is what we do with people who have been through our business planning class, and what they need is a place to be the CEO of their new company or the company that they already have. And so we have an arrangement with the CoLab, and we give them an annual, membership there. And we cycle people through that. We have three different organizations that have gone through there, and they go and they spend time at the CoLab. It's where they can stop being the worker that they are, or the parent that they are, or the person that they are. And they can just go and work on making the company that they have in mind and can make it work. As you know, we've taken over the administration of the non-existent LION, which is essentially the Local Investment Opportunity Network that cannot be an organization. And so we act as an organization for them. We fielded and submitted 19 different applications for money from various businesses in the county. And we are in the final process of a survey that we've done to all those who were in their applications into LION since LION started about 8 years ago. And I'll be happy to bring you those figures when we have them compiled. But LION has put over $4 million into this community. Without them in the last 8 years, I can't tell you how bad Jefferson County would be right now. You can look almost everywhere and find an investment that they have made and supplied people with necessary funds so they could have employment in this county. So we're really very excited that our relationship is working out really well. And since we took over, the application process has been about $500,000 in funding. The five things we can do summit, that's the thing that some of the people in this room have sat in. It's essentially the EDC's effort to get all the people with hands on a lever, the county, the court, the PUD, city, Main Street, Chamber, and ourselves, get us in all in a room, and we tell each other what the top five priorities are for our organization. And then we go and prioritize together and create a five things list that we then work on. Our next meeting is the 6th of April. I'm very excited and happy about the work that we've done together. I think it helps us realize that we can actually get more done when we have a small list and we work on the same thing together. And we're starting to see some real fruition from that's really all I've got, except for questions from whoever has questions.
And just to speak of the Lion, things like Hope Roofing, places like that, where they just needed a few $1,000 to restart the business, you know, or a new owner who was taking over from the previous owner that lost his way, you know, it's really helped a lot.
Well, and even bringing ACI boats in, even though that was done outside of Lion,
yeah.
I basically contacted local investors who provided the funding that they needed in order to buy some of the equipment that they needed to get going fast. They have some very heavy time frames and performance payments they wanted to get, and they needed to have the right equipment. Mm-hmm. And three local founders might have a significant amount of funding.
I don't know if you've been down there to ACI. That's a happening place inside the building right now. It's a lot of aluminum going mm-hmm. the other.
Pete, of what you just kind of outlined here, is it the Lion probably is the most influential in the community? What aspect of EDC would you say probably have the most
influential? Actually, I think our one-on-one business consulting is the most. We have a lot of one-on-one conversations. Like I said, I'm doing 3 to 5 a week, and I'm only working 3 days a week over our country. and a lot happens. Boat Chill and Barbecue, the Tip Tops, Arcadia, and Shore Diesel all came through initially our business consultation with me. Three of them went through the business planning class and then started their business. So it's really a blend, but we're keeping much better track of who's coming in the door these days. And these reports, hopefully they'll be blended together with the chamber, and we'll publish them in probably both newspapers.
So what's Tip Top?
Tip Top is a tree trimming company.
That's a great name.
Which is good. And he came into town. He's been working with the existing developers who's not as able to get to the tip top of trees as he used to be.
So have you had any more opportunities to work with the Make It in Washington initiative folks?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
We had a meeting and you got stuck on the wrong side of the
road. Yeah.
Ryan Layton from Megan Washington came up 2 weeks ago, and he and I went to 4 different organizations and had really good conversations with them. We do largely the same thing. What we discovered was that what Megan Washington do is they can provide 20 to 30 hours worth of consultation where I can only 5 to 10 simply because of volume. And Megan Washington is an organization that's funded with federal grants. Mm-hmm. And when we left, Brian basically said, I've never worked with the county this way before. It generally had been gone into a county without having conversations, and I appreciate all that. But it was a good conversation, good 4 times through. And we also sat down with the chamber, Teresa Barris, Kevin Holt, and myself had lunch together and just got an idea of what we reached to.
Good to hear you working together.
Yeah.
So can you, because I've had conversations with you, but I don't think I've heard about that one yet. So what? How is Make It in Washington and you, how are you working together?
Make It Washington is run through the Department of Commerce. Mm-hmm. We receive roughly $40,000 a year from the Department of Commerce. And they're a separately funded EDA grant fund from the federal government for $2.7 million. They have about a half a dozen people working throughout the state. Only with manufacturers. And so their environment is helping manufacturers either manufacture in Washington or bring things offshore back onshore to manufacture in the state of Washington. We have about a half a dozen really good candidates for that. Ryan has worked already with Pete Langley at PT Foundry, and we worked with 4 other businesses, like I said, 2 weeks ago. The one thing that none of us have is a big fund of money to give everybody to help. We just give advice and consultation.
So it sounds like, I mean, the move into the new building has been pretty successful. Proximity to chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with Heather the other day, Dudley. And the collab thing seems to be pretty exciting as well. So
yeah.
A lot of interest in it.
Well, about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, Teresa and I started about doing this, started talking about doing that. And that got me to thinking, well, what if something left, what are the things I would not like to leave that would hurt me the most as an economic development person? And it was Lean, Lion, and the CoLab, and the Chamber. Those four things, sorry. But, and 2 years later, we've brought all those together much more completely, and we've worked really, really well together. And it's, we've made sure that we're all hanging around and helping out the same time. And the SBDC has come in. Kevin Holt is there, very open to discussions, and we meet every Friday to talk about who we're working with and how we can help. And it's just it's a very, very cooperative, collaborative environment.
And I might add one more thing. It's not on the list that takes Peter's time and a significant portion. That's Catherine Burrell and I started the CEO breakfast, more than 10 years ago. And Catherine kind of managed it and make sure we got together and the emails went out and found the venue and all that. And Peter stepped up, Catherine kind of exited the stage, left. Peter took that over and he runs that every month. I won't be there tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. Part of the problem is at 7:30 on Thursday mornings. So.
Yeah, I got a meeting over in Seattle. So.
Cool.
So your support has been absolutely essential to what we're doing. Without it, we would not be able to operate as we do, even if we're working 3 days a week. Well, the other thing I didn't tell you about, that I told some of you separately, is that we are currently sourcing for a deputy director. And it's probably very pertinent for you guys, because you're working on your succession at this point in time. What we're trying to do is find an individual who will work about half time with me, and then there'll be a slow slide, slow or fast, depending on how damn good they are. And that person will move into the slot as that makes sense. So we just close that and do an interview next week.
I got to ask this, but on the focus plan that's got Wilson sitting there, are those paper airplanes you show them how to make?
Well, of course.
That's what it looks like.
This is the land of Boeing. You know what it takes to make one airplane versus make 30 of them together? It's a very different process.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I think we got it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Pete. Right. Oh, we got one in behind you. Bill Putney.
Bill Putney. So, I was having a conversation the other day, and someone said that Team Jefferson is really the port's marketing and business development branch, if you will. Is that, in fact, is the port spending money on with other marketing organizations other than Team Jefferson? Are we depending on Team Jefferson to really be the spearhead for marketing for the port?
No.
No.
Okay, so.
We also support Team Jefferson with the $25,000, and it's not so much, I wouldn't expect them to market us any more than they're marketing everything else in Jefferson County from a business and economic development. We certainly partner, getting Armstrong here. God, I don't know how many meetings we had over the course of about 6 months where Jim and I and Eric and Peter and the people from the company and back and forth, taking them on tours. And Peter helped orchestrate that. It's not really marketing, it's going after
my follow-up question to that was, if that were the case, maybe we need to support Team Jefferson more and task them more with specific.
Yeah. We market a number of ways. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Thanks, Bill. All good?
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Pete.
I just wanted to make a comment because I picked on him earlier.
This is the makeup comment. Yeah.
See, we all have our issues, we all have problems, but I would say it's good to do that. Some input from the Make It in Washington. We have been working with them for over a year. They have been really helpful in a lot of different directions. I think one of the things I can say is That'd be helpful.
Well, as you know, we started the advanced technology manufacturing list, and then when I became ill, we fell away from that. Well, we have a deputy director on board.
I saw that you were trying to get back together. That's great.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, there's actually a business item here.
We have to make a motion on this.
Yeah, we, before we approve the contract for this, this year, you know, we want to make sure we got the annual briefing, so.
Right. We've got the contract in the packet, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Are there any changes anybody sees as a contract?
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change the date.
Yep.
Same month.
I move to approve it.
You move it?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I understand the county's already approved theirs for.
All right.
This year, so.
Thank you very much.
Okay, first reading, the U.S. Navy Right of Entry Agreement.
Just as a preamble, I think we gave you, Sue gave you copies today. In the packet, there was a page missing. I don't know if you provided extra copies. Okay. When they emailed us the initial letter and the right of agreement, the second page of the right agreement, right of entry agreement was missing. So we got that in yesterday afternoon, so you should have that. Yeah, essentially, first reading, I don't have the authority to approve agreements, land use agreements, more than 1 year in length, so that's why you're hearing it. And what I told the folks at the Navy and the two newspapers is that, you know, I'm looking at today to also get public comment. I'm sure there'll be some. But also, if there's any questions or concerns that the commission has, I'd like to get those today so I can then go back to the Navy and articulate those and get their responses and probably put this back on the agenda for the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of where we are.
You guys have any thoughts on this?
Well, I just had one question, and I can't really I'm trying to figure out why the MATS is different than what we've had in the past. In other words, we've had the submarines. I always find it fascinating. I feel I'm really lucky when I get out of here and I got to watch the submarines launch at the boat ramp. Of course, we didn't know about it, and they did it, and it was at night, and we've not been apprised of that because, well, it's a public boat ramp. So I guess my concern is why are we being asked about this now, and it's a similar thing.
Yeah, I kind of bounced it off Pat this morning. I'll give him a chance to respond, but that was kind of my question too. It is a public ramp. I don't see how we can refuse anybody's access to it. I think I'm treating this more as a courtesy, and you know, if they are going to use it, but I've already articulated to them that you know, this isn't a rural residential, not a high density residential, but there are homes within 150 feet or so of the ramp. I know why they want to have multiple training sites in this community in my previous life, especially with dive teams. You can't just keep practicing at the same location. You want different depths of water, different currents, different clarity of water, different temperatures. In this case, it's cold water training. They don't want to do it after May. They want to make sure they do it during the colder part of the year, et cetera. And the more exposure they get to various environmental elements, not knowing where they're going to deploy around the world, it just makes them more successful. So these are small teams. You know, the SDVs, the sealed delivery vehicle you mentioned, you know, holds up to 6 divers at a time. Oftentimes it's less than that on an operation. And I've got a few questions of my own that I'm going to ask them. You know, what is the protocol? Are you going to have somebody up on land just to make sure that it's quoted in the paper about, you know, what if somebody has insomnia, is out walking their dog at 2 a.m. and suddenly a half dozen people in wetsuits come up out of the water, you know, because you'll be somebody on land to say, hey, it's okay, you know, don't worry about it kind of thing. So anyway.
My question is why MATS is a pretty heavily populated area. It's a basin that's completely circled with residential. with only one narrow channel into the bay. I mean, they got a whole island right over here with boat ramps and beaches, and
I can ask that question.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know why.
Again, it's a very challenging
ramp,
you know, physical area. So I'm sure they're just looking for a different terrain to navigate through.
I think one of my questions is use. What the, how much use are we talking about?
Frequency.
Frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, they define the months. I suspect it's less than a half dozen times.
But, right.
Probably far less than that, but
right.
I can ask that question.
Yeah. So, any comments from the audience? Yes, in the back. Oh, yeah, we're going to have at the podium with your name. That'd be great.
Hi, Joe Allen. I live in Mass, and I'm just concerned about the effect it will have on the wildlife. It's a sensitive ecosystem, a lot of little herring, salmon, cod come in there, and there's peregrine falcons that nest there, great blue herons, ospreys. I'm afraid there's more activity. I don't know how much activity the Navy would use it for, but concerns a shallow bay, more activity, more disruption will be to the ecosystem. And I respect the Navy. My dad was in World War II with the Navy. But I just think it's, you know, they have Indian Island. I'm just afraid the more traffic there has been disturbed the fragile ecosystem. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Anybody else want to comment on this? Okay.
That's just a picture of what the SDP looks like.
Do they, so they launched that off a trailer?
Yeah.
They got to back the trailer down the ramp?
Yeah, as far as impact, it's probably a lot less than your 1958 Ford backing the trailer down, leaking oil as it goes. Mm-hmm. For the boat, it's a trailer, it's a boat, but it's submersible. Bill, Steve, you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it several times.
So going forward, this is the first reading, and so you're going to ask some questions.
Yeah,
and
right now you've got the, you know, why mass versus, say, Indian Island, the frequency, you know, during this February through May. Obviously, they've already lost February, and probably March this year. And I'm going to ask my question about what's their protocol, you know, to make sure.
And they already have a right of entry into the state parks, right?
Yeah.
I sure don't see what they need mass mats for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're looking for many different training opportunities possible, I'm sure. That's something they can tell us.
If, I guess my other question would be, if they're, you know, kind of thinking about Joe's comment, if, you know, if they picked the frequency up where they were doing it a lot and there was a lot of public concern about it, and maybe we could say there was, you know, concern about environment and or concern about just a nuisance, what's the mechanism for, what do we do? What can we do? We really can't do much. I guess we can just voice that to the Navy and say, you know, what are we doing here?
Well, I would venture to say, if you want to go forward with this, is we could probably limit their frequency too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know these are all going to be nighttime operations. They're not going to be during the daytime. They're not going to go uplands very far. we can, you know, this is something we can modify if we want. Or say, no, thank you, we don't want to do it.
But we don't really have that power, do we? To refuse them right of entry?
It gets back to the fact that it's a public ramp.
Right.
You know, the Border Patrol uses all their ramps, the sheriff uses all their ramps, State Patrol uses all their ramps. They don't ask, you know, as you can.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and I made that clear there. Now, mass, we don't charge because of the condition of the ramp, but. They pay out here.
I got to tell you, the last time they were here, I was here. And I walked around and I saw like three or four pickups in the parking lot, and I got my camera out. I was taking pictures of the license plate so I could just check the license plate numbers to see if they actually put anything in there in Ranger. And some very large young man came over and wanted to see what I was taking pictures of. But they did pay. I mean, that's the important thing. I thought, cool, they paid.
Yeah, and there's no live ammunition, no pyrotechnics or anything else involved in this training. So, okay. Well, let me put together half a dozen questions here. And the other thing I wanted, I think this go to the newspaper too, is, you know, when somebody complains about airplane noise, I have a phone number with the FAA I can hand out saying, call these people, you know, to make your complaint to official. And I would expect.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that'd be great.
I don't want to be the one, you know, midnight, you know.
2 a.m.
You know, or 2 a.m. trying to field these questions. So.
All right, moving past item 7, there are no potential immediate action items. We'll move to 8, other business. And Steve, you're up.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring this up last time, but we got all involved and I forgot. So I can't remember if I briefed you guys about the climate change grant. Have I talked to you about the combined heat and power study that we're thinking about from the mill, have heat go past the port? Okay. In energy, I know I talked about this at an energy lunch one time. People from Seattle Steam came up and they've been talking to the people at the mill for quite some time about how to utilize their waste heat. If you ever look out there and all that stuff going out the stacks of steam, that's heat. And they waste, a lot of heat goes up into the atmosphere. And if you remember from Will Poultry, one of the things that that little town in Germany did was they don't waste heat. In fact, if you go to most Scandinavian countries, they have, in when you dig a trench in the road to put your utilities, your sewer, your water, your gas, your electric, they also have heat. It's just one of the utilities that goes into your house. And Seattle Steam has been in business in Seattle for years and years and years, and they successfully market heat to downtown Seattle. And the mill has been talking with University Mechanical Contractors, who does their mechanical contracting for Seattle Steam. They're trying to figure out how to capture some of that heat that's going up in the atmosphere. And there's way more than the mill could use. And so the Climate Action Group that the city has and some people from, local energy groups have decided that it's, and actually the fort is one of the instigators of this. The fort has got all these, you've probably heard about all the old ancient boilers out there that are hugely inefficient, and but nevertheless, the fort's heated with hot water. And so they were starting to think of how to get, when the project was done, the heat from the mill to the fort. And there's some other things that the heat could be used for. I'm not sure if it's too late to get it up on Howard Street, but that was one of the things they were considering because they've got a creamery going up there. But anyway, there's essentially a feasibility study that they want to produce that would be similar to the thing we're doing in Quilsing. You know, basically you hire a guy and say, this is how much it's going to cost, this is possible routes, this is how much it would save, this is how much we could harvest, and basically just figure out if it's doable. And that study would cost about $15,000 to $20,000. There's a grant that's been issued by JCCF Giving Circle Climate Change Grant, and it's for $20,000. And they wanted to apply for this grant. And this is the organization that's doing the grant is the local 2020 Energy Action and Climate Action Group. And they're going to ask for this University Mechanical Contractors to do a feasibility study to see how much heat's available, who it could serve, how much it would cost, where it would go. And they're not asking for anything from the port, except that since it's probably going to go through our property, maybe come down the Larry Scott Trail, we would have a potential for benefiting from it, like the brewery, for example. You know, that'd be an ideal spot, or heating buildings. It said that they wanted to list the port as a potential partner. They've also listed the city as a potential partner and the county as a potential partner. So they've asked the city council and the county commissioners if they're comfortable with being listed as a potential partner. They're not asking for any money. They're not asking for anything like that. They're just saying that if this becomes feasible, it's conceivable that you could be a partner in the future. So they're going to put this grant proposal in on the 15th. And so here's a copy of the grant proposal. And just wanted to know if we'd be comfortable being named on the grant proposal as a potential partner.
We've not asked for any formal motion.
No, no formal motions, no letters of intent. They just wanted to know that we're comfortable whenever this thing comes through, that we would be then given an opportunity to do more input on it. And like the quilting thing, we may be asked to put some staff on it too. So. That's only after it comes through. I'm comfortable with it.
A lot of the word potential's there.
Yeah.
Potential. That's the operative word.
Yeah.
Potential and there's no liabilities.
Yeah.
And why not?
No, I think why not?
Okay.
I was thinking IDC as we were talking about this. But. No, we're a long ways from that.
I know.
We're just looking to see if it's feasible and the city's happy with the same thing. I haven't heard what the county said yet, so.
Okay.
Great.
So you're going to articulate that back to me?
I will. Mm-hmm.
Staff comments.
I just want to point out to the public, I've got some papers out there asking some questions about the executive director selection process. If you have any questions you'd like us to consider, please fill that out. We're asking that you respond by 18th, so we can use that to compile the questions that we'll ask the applicants. And then for the commission, I just wanted to let you know we've had an unusual amount of public records requests in the last week, at least a half a dozen, kind of threw Sue and I off in a whirl because they were asking for emails, which took us down the road to having to discover how to access the emails, how to search them, and then redact them if we needed to, in which case one of them we realized we had to redact some information because it was related to the legal suit the court was with. Anyway, it took a lot of time, and it's still taking a lot more time for Sue and me. And so I just wanted to let you know, I mean, we're considering, maybe needing another half FTE or something to just assist temporarily because and for my part, she can do the documents and the things that she has access to, but because I'm oversight of an administrator of IT, that's my purview. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know about it.
The two of the requests, each one is in excess of 1,700 emails. And it's not malicious or anything. It's like some governments, get attacked through public record requests. People just want to harass the government. But it's difficult to try to articulate to these individuals, why don't you come on in and sit down with us and try and articulate what is it you're looking for? And we'll kind of narrow it down. In the case that they also want certain documents, how about here's a document, hundreds and hundreds of pages, and here's some post-it notes. Sit down and just go through and highlight the pages you need, rather than going through and reproducing an entire document. And they got to pay for it, but still, it's just taken an enormous amount of Sue's time and now that's deal.
Yeah, it's very different than saying, I want to see this contract or I want to see, this document. I want all the emails that have this, and this in it. So it's like, it's enormous.
And we can't charge for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is free. This is
chronic.
And that's another, because tracking the time is so time consuming on these massive projects, requests.
Well, and I would just caution that, for the audience that's looking at this looped counter, this is, not including the three of us, this is the staff. And we always talk about A&G from a budget process. Oh gosh, A&G is getting going up and up and up. This is adding to A&G enormously. And if we have to bring in a half FTE just to accommodate this, because we don't want to come in and just talk to staff, that seems a little bit backwards.
Well, and even if we don't end up going that route, it affects our productivity and our efficiency. So.
Yep.
And at times we need to consult legal counsel too.
Yep.
And we all know about legal counsel. Yeah, they're hourly rate.
It's already been chastised being late, yeah.
And we sure want to be totally open, absolutely nothing to hide that we, you know, get from the public. But it's just some of the records requests can be very daunting. But we're working at it.
Eric?
I just wanted to inform you that we have Tetra Tech under contract, and we've issued the notice to proceed. We'll be meeting with the consultant team likely on the 28th or the 29th for the kind of kickoff meeting over at their Seattle office, where we'll kind of confirm roles and responsibilities of all the team members, including myself. And then also begin to map out the public involvement process and hopefully come back to you then in early April with a detailed public involvement plan for how we're going to keep the ball rolling down there on this important project.
Great.
We're putting finishing touches on the doc study boat ramp. It should be in the end of next week. We're at a hard time with that. But that will be the last part of the project. People are using the ramp now, and it seems to be working straight.
Yeah.
And on that, we got Kevin checking with Theringer and Van de Weg's office. And the RCO, the RCO is very excited. They like to attend ribbon cuttings,
yeah.
You know, to help promote their grant programs and everything else. So probably looking at April sometime for a little bit of a ceremony out there. Two other things. One, tomorrow I'll be at the Washington Boating Alliance. It's being hosted by Elliott Bay Marina. Now the legislature's in its waning hours. Go through all the legislative updates that affect voting in general. And there's also going to be a briefing on some, you know, future voting kind of, you know, aspects, you know, demographics and everything. So I was going to attend that. Last week on Wednesday, I went over to NMTA to the Boatyard Committee, which we're a member of. And just to give you a quick update on the Boatyard permit, you know, the draft is due out. DOE, the last session of meeting with DOE, they're looking at the 16th, which is next week, to have the draft out. It may be off a day or two, one way or the other. It'll be a 30-day comment period once it is released. And Al and I have already talked about it. As soon as it's out, we need to digest that. And NMTA is thinking they'll probably call another Boatyard Committee meeting about a week after it's released, kind of from an industry standpoint, you know, what are we okay with, what are we not, do we want to make comments, what those comments will be, et cetera, back to DOE.
Any chance they're going to relax their benchmarks? not going to go the other way, is it?
Well, it's one of those games where if they don't change it, it's a victory. And right now, NMTA and their attorney that had the last meeting with DOE, is they're not looking to change any of the benchmarks that affect boatyards. Essentially, and the story that we've told them, which is the truth, is, you know, the benchmarks are already so restrictive for stormwater that technology has not caught up with the ability to sample. And yeah, you need to give boatyards a chance to make their investments, get their RX systems, get their other BMPs moving, because it doesn't just happen, you know, overnight. It's going to take multiple years. And I think DOE you know, is agreeing to that. You know, let's do another 5-year boatyard permit for the state, allow everybody to catch up, make their investments, and see where it goes then. There is one, it doesn't affect us. The lead limit, they're talking about cutting it in half, making it more restrictive. But our lead readings are so low that even cutting it in half won't affect it. That's true for all the boatyards. Lead is zinc and copper, the two big ones. So that's the status. If you want a copy, I'm sure it'll be electronic, so I'll forward it to you if you want to read through it. The other thing is, we actually talked longer about this, was the copper paint legislation. You know, as of 2018, no new boats could be sold with copper bottom paint on it in the state of Washington. And at 2020, year 2020, all copper paint is banned from sales within the state. And where the discussion went was, is this going to be another area where the state is going to look to boatyards to be the enforcing arm? Yeah, we already see it in the marina with liability insurance for moorage, for registration. We're supposed to maintain the records for Department of Revenue to come in and inspect. You know, we don't get any reimbursement for that extra administrative burden. But what about copper bottom paint? Yeah, what if, because all falls under the Clean Water Act, which allows a third-party lawsuit at $10,000 a day. So if somebody going through the yard sees Steve putting copper bottom paint on his boat, they'll sue him, but they'll sue us for allowing Steve to do that within our boatyard. So how do we address that and protect ourselves from that liability? You know, whether it's going to be we make everybody sign a legal affidavit when they haul their boat out, telling us that they understand the law, they will not use copper bottom paint and all that. I don't know. I suggested that we start an education program at this point, just like we have, you see all the signs around the marinas, about spills and not slick and that sort of thing. You know, maybe have a standard set of signage we put in all the boatyards, just reminding people about, you know, copper bottom paint and the legislation and some of the dates and all that. So, I don't know. Al and I talked about this the other day. You know, how to, you know, start thinking about it and how we'll handle it. And but more to come. That's 2016 and 2018 ain't very far away. So, that's all I have.
Okay, public comments.
I have a question about that, Larry. I was under the impression that they weren't going to be selling paint copper bottom after 2020, but you can still use it. Is that?
My understanding, that you're right, you can't sell it. And, and that's one of those, it's one of those, like with all this legislation, it's never black and white. There's always these gray areas. And, that might be something the Goodstein Law Group, on behalf of the port industry, might want to look into.
My impression is that it's only for boats under 65 feet, so if you have boats 65 feet, you can continue to use that.
Yeah, for the big boats, you can. That was in the legislation. That was to get the legislation through. That was one of the things they allowed, when they go back.
Interesting.
And
where they got to 65 feet for the
benchmark. It's a commercial thing, and that they thought, I was involved in that, and I think that they thought that the commercial lobby was too big to address, and they thought that
they were afraid nothing would get passed. Now, speaking of the Navy and the Coast Guard, they're using environmental safe paints.
They're using what?
Environmental safe paints.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, but they have very high safety. Those are the high animals.
That's just so
I think the Navy would, the Navy paints extremely high in zinc. That's why they work. They have there is all these formulas for them. And that's why the zinc has got as much punch as the copper maybe more.
I agree, Bertram. I see. I mean, these new paints that are coming out are high in zinc. I mean, that's kind of what they're trying to do is,
kill the whole issue. The paint's got to kill the sea life, that attaches to the boat.
Any other public comments? Okay, commissioner comments.
So what's the latest with the DNR? You went, that was a couple of months ago now, Larry, you went down to, had a little visit with the boys down in Olympia.
Yeah.
And what's the...
We all agreed, DNR does not want to take the lead, and Jerry O'Keefe, who works for WPPA, the environmental guy, was in the meeting with myself and the port director from Ilwaco. We were somewhat taken aback because DNR was very proactive a year ago. They actually came up here and had a meeting with us about the whole thing. What we're talking about is building a demolition pad, environmentally sound and safe place for DNR to bring their abandoned vessels that pose an environmental hazard. We have the mechanism to haul them out as the lockup does too, and use this as the demolition site. DNR pays the thing, pays us for storage, et cetera. So anyway, long story short, DNR said they would be very supportive, but would like the WPPA to take the lead. And since this is the short legislative session, and essentially the whole thing was wrapped around the Cleary Act with the education funding and all that, is that we'll attack at full force next legislative session. And in between now and then, what we're gonna do is work the legislators. In our case, Theringer is very important now because he now heads the House Appropriations Committee. And we're not talking a lot of money, maybe $500,000 for each of the two ports. They want to do one on the Columbia and one here in the town. You know, $1 million is a lot of money to you and I, but in the state budget, it's, you know.
So what compels the WPPA to even want to take the lead on that?
Because they represent the boating industry, and they've always been up there in front with the environmental aspect. So and they supported the whole derelict vessel legislation that created this whole thing with DNR.
Hmm.
Which you might want to read the history on that. You'll find out that the Port of Port Townsend is where all that started. With the, what was the name of the boat out here?
Oh, that tugboat that sank?
Well, there's two. The tugboat, the Orca, ended up sinking Lower Hadlock, the Palisades.
Mm.
It was the Wooden Boat Week, 1999.
That's the one they drug out to Point Wilson?
They took it, it was on the trestle here. Nobody wanted to touch it. Had the small tug attending it. The police went out. There was one guy on board. They said there was just filled with, you know, literally hundreds of 55-gallon drums of unknown fluids. It was a big boat. It used to be a U.S. Army Singapore cable lane where used to lay the cable up to Alaska back in World War II. And a historic boat. It was a total derelict. And so finally, we, the Port of Port Townsend, made such a hullabaloo, and to the leader's credit, I don't know if the leader's still here, they did a huge full front page article about it. The guy, the Coast Guard wouldn't touch it because it wasn't blocking navigable waters. We couldn't touch it because it was outside the marina. It wasn't on our land. It was on DNR land. So DNR finally and DOE got involved. The guy took the boat over to the Maritime Center, tied it up to the dock over there. The boat started to leak oil. It got into the intake valves, into the aquariums, and caused all sorts of havoc over there. So the police went back over there. The guy escaped and made good his escape in a rowboat. And
this is quite a story, Larry.
I mean, it was a Keystone Cop episode. Finally, it was so much bad publicity, the Coast Guard finally took control of it, got FOSS Environmental to get all these drums of fluid off of it. And then it went to, I love the story, that's why I'm telling it all. Finally, once it got cleaned up, the Navy said, can we have it? It'll be a good practice demolition, i.e. explosives, and we'll take it out here mid-channel, 400 feet depth, and sink her. So they towed it out there and did the Navy training thing, and I hope this doesn't look bad on the Navy SEAL training at MATS. They laid their demolition charges, blew it up. The boat sat there for a minute, then rolled over upside down and floated.
And that's when I was flying back from Friday Harbor, and I flew right over the top of it, I'm like, what is going on? There's a boat that was going around Point Wilson in the tide rip.
And what happened was, they
with a big oil slick around it.
They're taking the fluids off, but nobody punctured the fuel tank, so there's just big air bladders in there. That's why it floated. Went over, went on shore at Fort Warden. They said, okay, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll do it right the next time. They came back the next day and it was gone. Nobody knows where it is today. And to this day, when I come down Sims Way, there's a fog bank out of there. I just have this vision of the ship coming out of the fog. We think it finally did sink and it just slid out somewhere. But that started the derelict vessels program.
And with that, we will adjourn to executive session.
Wow. All right, in time. Right now,
this is
2:10, and we'll need.
What's that, Bill?
The
result of the executive session?
Is there going to be a decision?
No decision.
No decision.
Real estate issue and a legal issue.
Thanks, Bill.